Hello, everyone. It's The Bookcast. It's episode number 133. The Bookcast, it's a podcast. We're based in Australia, and we talk all about Nintendo news and thoughts on games and stuff around about Nintendo. My name is Stephen. I'm the host of this fair audio thing that you're listening to. And with me is Mr. Daniel. How are you, Mr. Daniel?
I am doing swimmingly.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It sounds fancy, though, so let me have it.
Okay. Also, Troy is here. How are you?
I am doing good, like a normal person.
You're not swimming? Podcasting?
Right. Yeah, no,
let's
no swimming
go back to
here.
Playing the random sounds on my phone if this is how it's going to go.
Don't do that, please.
That is not swimming.
So, we're doing this episode a little bit out of order. Normally, we do it fortnightly, but a direct happened. We were planning on just sort of doing a surprise episode to talk about Federation Force as well, but a direct happened. So we're going to do both. Yeah, I mean, thanks kind of Nintendo. It's a minor annoyance, but also we've got some news and fun stuff to talk about. So positivity. The Nintendo Direct happened. It was 3DS focused, but not entirely 3DS based, as we found out. And a lot of the stuff that was talked about was, hey, remember that game that was on the Wii U? Here it is on the 3DS where people might actually buy it. So the
wasn't
first
a lot of it. It was like that was two games.
It was some. Okay, it was some of it. And that's where we're going to start, if I'm allowed, Daniel.
You can start, but I'm not having you spreading these false lies of laziness directed at Nintendo.
So, Stephen.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first one that we will talk about is that there's now Super Mario Maker for the 3DS, creatively titled Super Mario Maker for 3DS.
About time.
It sure looks like Super Mario Maker, except on the 3DS. Do we have any thoughts on this one?
I'm excited. Like, I was actually hoping at the very least we would have, if not a creation tool, like a way to play the stages made on the Wii U version, and that's pretty much what we're getting.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah.
It's got some weird limitations. Yeah. Like the one that is mostly talked about is the fact that there's apparently not any online level-based sharing. You share levels through local wireless rather than online.
That'll be great for Japan.
Yeah, it'll be great for people who have a group of friends and they just want to share levels between each other, and apparently it's meant to foster a close-knit community, but I don't know. I don't quite understand why.
All right, with Street Pass.
An idea. Like,
how
if you
often
set
do you
a
get Street Passes? I mean, like, today I only got two. Some days I'll get none.
In Canberra, surprisingly a lot.
I used to get quite a few when I went to uni on a regular basis, but now that I do work, I almost don't. But then again, I also don't bring my 3DS to work.
That might be it.
Might be. But yeah.
So, why did my 3DS get no Street Passes left at home? Damn you, Nintendo!
It's all their fault.
It is.
But yeah, talking about playing Wii U levels on the 3DS as well, that seems to be kind of limited as well. They didn't go into any detail, but they mentioned that some levels from the Wii U will be playable on the 3DS version, but not all of them.
Well, they said that the 3DS version won't have those mushrooms that gave you a custom skin.
Yeah,
so
that's
any
right.
Levels that took advantage of that won't work.
Which is weird. I would have thought they'd throw in amiibo support wherever they could, and most of those were sort of locked behind amiibos to get, you know, those custom skins a lot of the time, which seems weird.
Considering
they take
the Wii
that
U version had an amiibo bundle.
Yeah. I don't quite understand. Like, it doesn't seem a technical thing that, like the 3DS goes online just fine and levels aren't massive. And, yeah, like the custom skins, it's not like, you know, amiibo stuff has been in lots of 3DS games so far. I just don't really get why it's limited.
And the other thing is that you can't search stages by name, so you can download like recommended titles or suggested titles or something, suggested stages, but not actually search for ones that you would want.
It's weird. I think this is Nintendo's kind of half-assed attempt to make a platform of sorts.
Yeah, like it's kind of similar to Smash Bros, how they have it for Wii U, for 3DS. They're doing the same with Super Mario Maker. And I guess it's, yeah, bringing everything to be as kind of the same on all platforms, but with the weird limitations we were talking about, it's, yeah, it's weird.
I mean, I'm excited for it. I mean, it's, you know, if you could just download a set of stages and just play them while you're at and then come back home and re-download more or something, but.
Might be interesting at places like PAX as well.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Large enough group of people together.
It's even like more.
Have a big a level swapping room session or something.
It's even more of a pain not being able to upload your own. Because I could see, you know, playing this on the train, it's like, well, I'm just going to design a stage on the train at work and come home and then, you know, it'd be nice to be able to upload that to the internet for other people to play. Because I could see getting a lot
otherwise,
more.
Otherwise, who's going to play it?
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, even though you and I catch up every now and then, Stephen, I don't think any of us would be street passing stages between each other, but, you know, it'd be good to just be able to upload yourself to the...
It might be the cynic in me thinking that maybe they sort of, the Wii U version has had a little bit of sort of controversy with levels being taken down without any real explanation. Maybe they just don't want to get into that mess again and they just say, well, if, you know, just easier than having to take down levels and explain why, we'll just not have any sort of online sharing at all. And just, you know, if you share with a person, we're not going to facilitate it. Maybe.
Yeah. I actually sort of had Mario Maker pegged as one of the launch titles for the NX. So I wonder if this is going to affect that. Because it seems odd if they release this and then, you know, hey... 3 months later, here's another version of Mario Maker for the NX.
I guess kind of like as Troy was saying, if they're making it a platform, it wouldn't be crazy if it's, you know, here is Super Mario Maker for NX and you can access most, probably all of the levels from both of the versions of the game and import them all over. Maybe that could make sense.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I guess so. So that's that. The next 3DS the next game that was on the Wii U and is now coming to the 3DS, and interestingly with new content, is Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World. It's Yoshi's Woolly World, but Poochie's in it now.
And he's taking the headline.
He actually is, and I think that's because they didn't want to alter the logo.
Yeah, they just have to add this thing to the left. They just like add Poochie's logo, add his butt to the other side. New game.
What did you, what did you think of how it looks?
Fine. I think when Nintendo make games, they make the art styles that kind of work on any level of detail.
I personally think it won't quite look as nice just because the level of texture of all of these woolen models won't really be visible on such a low resolution screen as the 3DS. It'll just kind of look a bit more muddy and like a regular 2D platformer, I think.
Like, I was rewatching the trailer for it, and one of the things I really liked with the Wii U one, it's like, you know, whenever Yoshi takes a step, sort of like the ground around him will...
Fall
that
in.
Won't happen.
Yeah, whereas that doesn't happen at all in this version. It's just, you might as well walk on a flat platform. It doesn't... I mean, and that's understandable. They wouldn't be able to do that. Yeah. But I think that was part of the charm of Woolly World. And even Epic Yarn, I think, did that as well. The Wii and the 3DS are kind of similar hardware-wise, like power-wise.
Ish.
Yeah, kind of, maybe, we think. the 3DS is basically two GameCubes duct-taped together and then shrunk in half and then, yeah.
I'll be happy as long as I can buy the Poochie Amiibo separately.
Yeah, well, I think it is. From what I was reading, the Amiibo bundle for it's also going to come with the pink Yoshi.
Oh,
and
okay.
An Amiibo reader as well.
I guess makes sense because not everyone has a new 3DS.
The real question, though, is there going to be a Mega Yarn Poochie Amiibo?
It needs to be.
We can live in
there
hope.
There is no justice in this world.
but yeah, I can't remember. Does anyone remember what sort of the Poochie mode adds to the game aside from just being able to control or use Poochie?
I think it was made abundantly clear.
Like an instant run, like an auto runner sort of thing.
Yeah, but there's also like Poochie Pops as well. I think, I don't know.
Poochie Pops.
Clearly, I should have done my research because I can't even remember what it was. I kind of watched it a bit tired.
Poochie's in it.
Yes, Poochie's in it. If you haven't played Yoshi's Woolly World, you should.
Yeah, Yoshi's Woolly World is definitely one of my favorite Wii U platformers.
3DS might get a decent Yoshi's game.
Yeah.
And as long as the jumping doesn't...
You mean its first Yoshi game?
As long as the jumping doesn't sound like farts and he doesn't...
I agree, Troy.
I don't think there was another Yoshi game on the 3DS.
What are you on about?
Yeah.
It's not one that he would poop eggs and stuff.
Yeah, who would make that?
Gosh.
Hoping Steven would laugh at that.
Well, keeping it on the topic of amiibo, there's some really, really cool looking amiibo for the Zelda 30th anniversary coming the 3rd of December, apparently. There's one, interestingly, kind of similar to the ones that came out around Super Mario Maker with the Pixel Mario, except sort of blown up to 3D. So they've got that for Link to celebrate the original Legend of Zelda. I don't know if I like that model,
you know,
in
what,
3D, but...
It's actually listed as being from the first Legend of Zelda game.
Mm.
Do you know how they all have, like, the little subtitle for what game the amiibo was from for the Zelda ones? That one actually lists the Legend of Zelda.
Mm.
So that's specifically why.
Yeah.
I kind of would have liked if they'd done, like, a Zelda amiibo for each... Like, a Link amiibo for each game. Like, you know, a Link to the Past one, and then a Link's Awakening, like a black and white Link's Awakening one.
Probably, but then at that point you'd have, like, entire shelves of different Link amiibos to deal with,
I would rather that than bloody...
Well, there's also, Ocarina of Time and two Wind Waker ones, and I really, really like the look of the Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker ones. I'm not a fan of the Pixel one just purely because that would be a nightmare to keep dust out of the crevices, but the other three look really nice.
Yeah. I feel like they've made these amiibo just because Zelda's one of the most popular franchises and there aren't that many Zelda amiibo. Almost feels like obligation in a way.
Well, what, there's these four, there's the two, well, there's...
Three.
There's four for Smash Brothers, isn't there?
Within the specific range. Because you've got four Kirby ones, you've got, eight Splatoon ones, and currently you have one Zelda one.
Hmm.
16 Animal Crossing ones. And Zelda's one of the most popular franchises, so I feel like they're just filling out the roster for amiibo.
Well, they said they wanted
and they're all
to,
Link.
They said they wanted to do this year to celebrate The Legend of Zelda's 30th.
They're like just really nice Zelda figures, regardless of whether they're amiibo or not. They're just really nice looking figures that are reasonably priced and will be actually coming to Australia.
But they're not going to have any specific functionality for them until Breath of the Wild comes out and we don't even know what they do yet.
I think for me, that's kind of an admission of the fact that I almost don't use amiibo for any sort of functionality anyway. I just buy them because they look cool. I think there's probably a lot of people like that.
I know Breath of the Wild was originally meant to come out this year, but I'm still super disappointed that there's no new Zelda game out for Zelda's 30th. Like, even if they had have saved Triforce Heroes and released it this year, that would have been somewhat tolerable. But there's just... this is it for the Legend of Zelda's 30th. Like, not even a... like Legend of Zelda Maker or something, but just...
It's fine. Some amiibos. I prefer they put their energy into Breath of the Wild than just a tokenistic 30th anniversary celebration that's not really going to mean much.
Yeah.
I'd be happy. I don't know. Okay. Sorry.
It's fine. You can have your opinion. I just don't agree.
No, I can't.
You're banned from opinions.
Yes.
Well, that's the end of that.
Staying on Zelda... Yes, there is, just came to the Wii U virtual console was, Skyward Sword.
It did.
So, yes, they can, for all those who didn't play it back in the day, can go back and play it now. Screw the haters, it's a completely fine game.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the
You describe lots of games as fine.
Adequate.
They're not garbage, but they're not fantastic.
You know what, I've really enjoyed Skyward Sword outside of the, those like stealth sections in the Shadow Realm or whatever.
I think the worst part about this coming out on Virtual Console is the realization that I bought it on launch day and I still haven't finished it. And it's come out on a second console by the time it comes out, well, by the time I finish it.
I just could not get past the second dungeon. I just really hate the controls.
I think I got to a similar spot, either the second or third dungeon, and I just noped out for some reason, probably because a better game come out.
I felt like I was pushing myself to play it.
That was the volcano, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, that's the last one I remember doing as well.
Those dungeons.
I don't like that every single enemy has a certain way that you have to attack it and approach it when I just want to solve the puzzles and complete the dungeon.
Yeah, I guess
it just feels like the game slows down every time you fight an enemy.
And then you have to go through a paragraph or an essay describing how you need to deal with each enemy.
You have 80% chance of destroying this. Piss off, Fee!
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I think it's got some of the best 3D dungeons Zelda's had. Like, there's some really good sort of, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I
love the art style.
Yeah.
The music was fantastic.
I think the moral
I liked
of
where the story was going.
Yeah. I think, yeah, the moral of this is if you want to play Skyward Sword, you don't have to pay $79 at EB Games for a 7-year-old game anymore, or however old it is. I can't remember.
It's 5.
You can now 5-year-old game. I wasn't far off, but yeah, now you can get it for 25, if memory serves, or $23 on the virtual. 26, there you go.
Jesus Christ, I do it every week. The prices are a rip-off on there.
26? That's reasonable.
For a download, too, so... worth noting that those Wii downloads, you don't have to boot into Wii mode to play.
That's very nice, yeah. I actually didn't know that. I've bought a few. Clearly, I haven't played them. Whoops.
I haven't, because I've got every single game that they...
That didn't stop me buying the Metroid Prime trilogy for the... I think I now have 3 separate versions of Metroid Prime 3 across like different trilogies and the original release.
Didn't they also bring out new Pikmin Play Control or something?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, they sure did. If you want to play Pikmin 1, now you can, without sort of trying to find a Wii copy or sourcing a GameCube version.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Cool. now to jump into Street Pass, which I'm kind of happy about because I'll be going to PAX soon, and one of the updates to this seems like it would be very, very useful for people in such a situation.
Yes. What feature is that, Stephen?
I don't even know where to go with that. so you'll be able to, instead of just banking up 10 Miis or 10 passes in the Street Pass game and then ignoring all the rest, you can now, if I understand correctly, bank up 10 and then bank up a further 90 that you can then sort of put back into your queue as you need them, you still have to do it 10 at a time.
That's only if you have the
Street Pass Premium.
Yes.
I honestly think this will be enough for me to buy Street Pass Premium, like, because purely for PAX, because that was a nightmare dealing with the 10 at a time. Like, it'll still be a little bit annoying, but I won't have to check every 5 minutes and I might actually be able to do things and enjoy it.
Loved that in Japan, like when I was in Disneyland or something.
Why didn't you have your 3DS with you?
No, I did, but I'm still like having to go through and clear out my street passes.
I see.
Especially Disneyland, because like people are waiting in line 90 minutes for a ride, so there's a lot of people playing 3DS and just...
So it's very much like PAX.
Yes.
Still weird that you have to do it manually?
The other thing though is
there's another plaza sort of area you can go to where instead of reading their full intro, the full greeting, it just like skips in like one line. Hi, I'm this person. And you hold down.
That's not the issue
it'll
with
just
that though.
Flash through them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's more if you do manage to say you're in the Street Pass Lounge at PAX. You get 10, bank them, 10, bank, 10, bank, blah, 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 play through all the games. Then you have to do 10, bank again. It doesn't rack up 100 in the background.
Yeah, that's true. So it'll... I don't know. It seems like a weird half step. It'll be a nice thing to have, but it's not... I don't know. I could think of so many ways to make it more user-friendly that they didn't do, but...
If it automatically banked the 10 while you're in the app, that would be great.
Yes, yeah, just like having them queued up for when you're done with you know, whatever you want to do with those 10 people, but and whatever. Yeah,
you're right. It is a lot faster.
Yes. Yeah, I had a little bit of a play around with that. Is it like the Swift Plaza or something to that effect?
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm trying to find out.
Like, yeah, like it's
even the menu interface is easier. Like you can, you know, just tap on things quicker and you can have more stuff on screen so you can go to the different games and puzzle areas so and stuff. Now. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. And there were also some new games that came along with it as well, which are all focused around being done quickly and easily, which, thank goodness, I like fishing, but I don't want to do that lots and lots and lots.
The big problem with fishing is when you're greeting people. It's just so silent. Like, no, I don't, you know, just give me your bloody bait and piss off onto the airplane so we can bugger off.
Actually, have you tried the cooking one where they just walk in, you get all the ingredients and you're ready to go, like, in seconds?
Oh, nice. I haven't tried that. Yeah. Because they let you have – there were a couple that were released when there was a – trading stock market one, which I haven't tried yet. But
so the two free ones, well, you get a choice of one of these is free. It's the it's one that's like a rally car, like a
slot car,
that's the thing. Slot car racing, and then the other one is a is the stock market. And stock market's super quick to play. It's just like, yep, okay, gotta sell when it's cheap and buy when it's cheap and sell when it's, you know, going up.
I will never trust you with my stocks.
No, please don't.
What about the dividends?
What's a dividend? I don't even know. I like the slot cars one though. That was the one that I chose as my free download, and it's really focused on accelerating at all times except letting go when you go around corners and then accelerating out of corners, and that's all there is to it. And it's just, yeah, it's really fast. It's super good fun. I could see
it's
that being
really a simple sort of idea, but they just sort of and that's with most of Street Pass games in general. They're really simple, but
the Ninja one is just ridiculous.
I like that. That's pretty fun.
So if you haven't played it, it's basically you're a ninja and you have no clothes on because they'll burn up in a cannon because you're in a cannon and you're going to get fired out of the cannon. So you have to get your clothes back.
Cool.
Because people put kites up in the air that have your clothes on them. You know, as ninjas did, based on actual Japanese
these traditional history. Traditional ninja activities.
Yeah, ninja cannon kite fight. You know.
You know. Didn't you do history?
Clearly I missed
four
lessons. It's actually really ridiculous. It's funny.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got like 30 seconds or like a minute to line all your guys up because all the Miis you street pass are different heights. So you've got to line them up so you'll have the best shot that'll hit all of them. And, you know, it's sort of just frantic trying to go, okay, quick, got to get this one along. And then you move one and it sort of knocks that one out of alignment. So you've got to quickly switch between them and try and set them all up so you can get the shot off.
Yeah, it's just, I've never really played anything like it. Someone's come up with a very original idea.
It almost sounds like a WarioWare game, but in
these are all kind of WarioWare games.
Sort of stuff.
It's got the slightest Angry Birds vibe to it, but you don't actually get to aim the cannon.
I don't know. Are there any other new Street Park games that we haven't touched on yet?
There's the Trek one.
One, it feels like the Street Pass quest-ish.
Now, the cool thing I found out about that is it actually, the amount of steps you go is based on the steps that whoever you've street passed has walked for the day.
Okay.
So if the person you've street passed has done 4,000 steps with their 3DS, then you'll get 4,000 for your character to travel.
And there's a bunch of forks in the road and you have to decide which one to go down. It's very interesting.
It's quite fun. It's different.
I think I quite like the sound, like, of the ones I've played and the ones you've described. They all just sound quick and easy to do. Like, I enjoyed fishing. I enjoyed the zombie one, but I don't want to play them lots. I kind of got bored with them because they're in-depth, but not in-depth enough to be interesting long-term. And
especially
they're
the
not
zombie
shallow
one.
Enough
like,
to
like,
be.
The zombie one is a ton of fun, but, like, once you've played through it all, it's like, yeah, I don't. And even though, like, there's, like, little challenges I could do in them, it's like, I can't be bothered.
The thing with that one is that it's fun to play, but you don't get to play on your own terms. It's based on the street passes you get.
Exactly. Kind of can only play when you're allowed.
My
it doesn't lie about that.
My absolute two favorite Street Pass games are still the Haunted Mansion and the shooter one, but I'm not going to go back and play them because that shooter one,
that got hard.
Yeah, and if you've got like a full 10 Street Passes and then you're doing the beginning to end mode, that's a fair time commitment to sit down and play that. And
yeah,
to be in the randomness of the Mesa Street Pass. And the same with the Haunted Mansion one, that can be frustrating. It's really fun and well thought out, but it's not really conductive to just quick, simple play, which these games are. Like, you'll be able to get through these in like 10, 15 minutes if you've, like, I think when I got them on Friday, I managed to get a full 10 Street Passes just out walking, and that took a few minutes to play through them all.
Yeah, well, when you're out and about, you don't really want to think too heavy.
Like, yeah. You don't want to be out. I know that you, like, Daniel plays in-depth RPGs on the train, but for me, if I'm playing anything on the train or, you know, while I'm stopped, I just want it to be over and done within 5 or 10 minutes, not really. I can't commit to stuff in that sort of setting.
I've got a half an hour train ride in the morning, so it's like... And playing,
even when I had an hour and a half, I still didn't really do it.
Playing Monster Hunter is like, okay, that's like a quick quest I can get done. And then, yeah. I just want to say that the food one, something fun I noticed about it is once you've fed them and they've gone off and done the mission, it'll show them doing like a quest from the Find Me, Street Pass game, which was like one of the first Street Pass games they released, which I thought was a fun nod to that.
That you mean Street Pass Quest? Is that one that it's called for people who don't have a US 3DS?
Have I mentioned that? I don't think I have. But yeah, that I thought that was fun. Little
also, the companies in the stock game are all based on the different Street Pass games as well.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think Street Pass is the 3DS's secret best weapon, and it's just a shame that it doesn't get used as much as it should.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I mean, I know it's a limitation of like you can only have 12 games set up in Street Pass, and it's there's only limited
passive in social gaming.
Yeah,
that's how I always thought of it.
I love that.
Well, do you love Picross?
I do.
Well, there's a new one coming to 3DS in December, and the original's out on Wii U Virtual Console.
3D Picross.
What? Now, 3D Picross never came out here originally.
I have literally never played a Picross game, so I'm going to have to hand it over to you guys for this whole segment.
I like Picross. It's a fun sort of puzzle game. I've been playing a lot of Twilight Princess Picross lately.
It's like on par with word searches and crosswords for me in Sudoku. Yeah. It's just a different type of puzzle game. This has amiibo support, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, from what I gather, it unlocks levels sort of styled around that character.
See, I think that's a clever use of amiibo.
Yeah, sort of stuff that you wouldn't... yes and
you're not
no.
You're missing out for not having the amiibo.
Yeah.
You're getting something... You've invested in an amiibo. This is your favorite character. And your favorite character does these things in these games, like a 3D Picross puzzle.
It is nice that it adds more value to the amiibo that you already have. It's not like there's a Picross amiibo series or anything like that. It just uses the ones that you have.
A number on it.
But like at the same time, it sort of made me think of, I think mostly back in the GameCube era, Nintendo did a lot of sort of guest appearances in other publishers' games or just sort of games where they kind of seemed a bit weird. Like there was SSX where you could play as Mario, Luigi, and Peach. And that sort of stuff I feel like now would probably be locked behind an amiibo, whereas it didn't used to be in the past. So kind of, I don't know, little neat little stuff like this. You're not really missing out for not having it, but I guess it also locks it behind an amiibo where in the past it might not have been. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that. But I guess if it's a character that you don't own the amiibo for, you can argue that it's a character that you're not even that interested in, so getting that bonus Easter egg or not wouldn't really faze you either way.
Yeah. No, that's probably a fair point as well. Is there anything more to say about Picross? Or is it a thing that's interesting?
Yeah, it's not groundbreaking. It just looks fun.
I mean, I've really liked Picross games. They're just fun to play and just, you know, turn your mind off and just do a little sort of crossword puzzle style thing. Picross 3D, I mean, This is something that's really annoying me with Nintendo America at the moment. This and Rhythm Heaven, they're both already out in the 3DS eShop, but they have no plans to release a retail version of it. Now, I wouldn't mind that if they were priced like sort of digital-only games, but it's $43 for me to buy Picross 3D off the eShop, and I'm like, yeah, she'll be right. I'll wait to a sale or something on it. I mean, I really do want it. I really, really, really like Picross 3D on the DS. But yeah.
But not $43 like it.
Well, I mean, I probably, yeah, it's weird. Like, if it was retail, yes, I probably would spend that much on it. But I've sort of moved away from getting all big games on digital.
Ah, fair enough.
So I like having the carts now. And there's like stuff like, I wish I'd bought, I don't know, Smash Brothers, retail or, Lego Cities Undercover Chase Begins retail.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I've definitely got some games that I want retail.
Well, that was Picross. What else do we have? So we have a Mario Sports Superstars coming to the 3DS in 2017. Bizarrely enough, it seems a bit of a weird time to bring it out, but whatever. I don't really know what to think of it. It looks like Mario Sports Mix, except new and again.
Well, it looks like it's got a full sort of Mario Golf mode in it. Yet we just had a Mario Golf game in the last year or was it 2 years ago, I think.
They have different developers doing different sports, as far as I know.
Well, the tennis and golf would have to be Camelot, wouldn't they?
Would it?
I think.
Well, they've made all the Mario Golf games.
I wish it was Square Enix so we could get weird Final Fantasy crossover characters in it.
Oh, why is there nobody basketball game in there?
Basketball. Why isn't there a basketball game?
There should be.
You know what? Why isn't there?
Let's lobby Nintendo for Mario Sports Superstars Basketball.
I really like is a consistent art style. It's not like the Olympics games where everything looks normal other than the characters.
Yes, that is bizarre.
It's the bland Mario sport visual style.
But look at that horse. It looks like it belongs in the Mario universe.
My horse is amazing.
Yeah, it does look like it belongs in the Mario universe, unlike the horses in the Olympic games that you brought up, which kind of look like cartoony real horses. When you have Waluigi or Bowser riding it, it's just like, I don't quite know if these fit together.
Are we going to have Bowser riding a horse? Because I feel like that's animal cruelty.
If it's another animal doing it, or is it just the natural order of things?
What I mean about the art style is, like, I really like Mario Strikers Charge on the Wii U, and it's got a sort of really different, slightly edgier art style to it, whereas this just looks like, Mario wearing his overalls on a soccer field.
Funny you bring that up. I actually played Mario Strikers Charged over this weekend, and that exact thought came to my mind. Like, this game, it had an edgy, dark sort of look, which you would never get anymore from Nintendo. It is, like, Nintendo, or Mario specifically, is squeaky clean, bright, colourful. It wouldn't look out of place on a baby's bedroom wall or something. But now, yeah, like, back then you could have, you know, ridiculous Waluigi sort of thrusting at the camera when he gets a goal.
The crotch chop is
Just the art style, the music, it had sort of like a heavy, as far as Mario games are concerned, a heavy soundtrack. It was just all over the place, and
next time we do a meetup at Vuk's place, we need to sort of play that.
If only we could play it online still. R.I.P.
But really, how angry does that Yoshi look?
What?
In the official artwork for Sports Superstars, Yoshi just, I've never seen him that angry before.
I've never seen Yoshi angry.
What are the sports? Because we sort of really.
The worst part is that he's angry about a golf ball that he's looking at. He's not even angry at something. He's just like, ugh, damn golf. Why am I playing this?
What are the included sports? We've got soccer.
Golf, horse racing, baseball, tennis, and football, which is soccer.
No rugby sevens?
Just to clarify, no rugby sevens. You'll have to get Rio 2016 Olympic Games for that joy.
Is that on the 3DS version or just the Wii U?
No, it's Wii U.
Oh.
Is it actually fun? Sorry, tangent, but I'm actually curious.
It's all right.
Okay.
That's all I need. You're not missing out too much.
All right.
And yeah, apparently each of these sports has like tournaments online play. Football is 11v11 rather than the 5v5 like the Strikers games used to be, which is kind of interesting. It's a sort of a full, I guess, more quote-unquote realistic representation rather than a small representation of it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's going to make... Because it's a smaller screen. I'd just be interested to see how that plays out.
Are there any good soccer games on the 3DS?
Is there that... does Inazuma 11 count as a soccer game?
No.
Okay.
That Football Manager was actually fun, but not because it was... You were playing soccer. It was...
Oh,
you managing NPCs that played soccer.
That Pocket League whatever?
Pocket Football Club.
Yeah, that never came out.
I really liked that.
Yeah, I always wanted to play it.
The thing that I liked
about it. Oh, why my American
3DS? When I started playing it, I made my team, and I was actually like cheering for my team because I couldn't directly interact with them while they were playing.
It's just
and then
like
it clicked. I'm like, this is why people watch sports, right?
You're invested in a team. Now it all makes sense. You just start buying merchandise for your made-up team, put it all around your house, on your car, at your work desk.
I wonder how much better the tennis will be over the Mario Tennis that already came out in the 3DS, because that wasn't too well received, if I remember correctly.
I think I've got the Mario Tennis on Wii U, and that would be okay, but it's just kind of very bare bones, and the only extra stuff they added was, like, weird, ridiculous, you can be a giant character mode, and it just was kind of... a dumb gimmick that wasn't actually very fun. So I don't know, if it goes anything like the football, maybe they're going to be doing a bit more of a comprehensive, actual sort of competitive aim to it rather than a goofy Mario Kart power-ups sort of direction. But then again, I haven't really looked at too much of it.
Why horse racing?
Why not? Maybe there was that pocket jockey and it sold more than they thought it would. So they're like,
could
cool.
Could have been Yoshi racing.
Japan's really big on shit like that, like horse racing. So.
If it was Yoshi racing, then you wouldn't be able to be Yoshi unless Yoshi would ride a Yoshi.
I was just about to say, you'd have Yoshi riding on Yoshi. Missed opportunity.
That's... it's not G-rated.
Well, you had to.
I did. Is there anything more to say about sports superstars?
Sports ball? No.
What was cool. What was on the Wii one? It was like...
Oh, well, that was like...
Ice hockey, basketball. Why did I trade that in? That was actually kind of okay.
Because you get rid of games that are kind of okay in favor of games that are good.
I clearly don't. I mean, I'm looking at bloody Deadly Creatures and Epic Mickey at the moment. I clearly keep a hold of less than average games.
Speaking of less than average games, there's a 2D Pikmin game coming to the 3DS. Yes.
Not happy, Jan. Now I know how the Metroid fans feel.
Do you?
Well,
though?
Yeah.
At least this has Olimar in it.
Yeah, just to clarify, so it's a Pikmin game, but it's not a sort of top-down sort of basic strategy game or anything. It looks like a 2D Chibi platformer. Ripper. Yeah, a 2D platformer where you can use the Pikmin's abilities to solve puzzles, which I don't know how puzzly they are. It looks like it's more just, oh, look, there is a water part. You better get your blue Pikmin. You are a good problem solver. But I might just be being grumpy at it for no good reason. I'm not sure.
Every time Nintendo release footage of a 3DS game where I start off going, what the hell is this? Why are they doing this? And then I end up playing it and going, hey, this is actually pretty good. I'm holding off reservation until I get to play it.
I'm curious about the visual style. Like, some of the larger enemies are in sort of a regular 3D, but Olimar and the Pikmin and just sort of the general environment looks to be kind of, I guess, a watercolor painting sort of look to it, if I'm identifying that correctly.
Yeah. Look,
I think this is probably Nintendo's way of making sure people are still aware of the Pikmin brand after Pikmin 3 came out on a dead console.
Hmm.
You can't see the air quotes I just did.
I mean, look, my problem with it, I mean, I'm excited. I like Pikmin. I'm going to play it. But it's on a system that isn't short of platformers. There's a ton of really good 2D platformers on the 3DS.
I think that's why they weren't platformers.
There are also a ton of 3D platformers or 2D platformers on the Wii U as well, so I don't think there's any platform that has a dearth of them at the moment.
But there aren't any good strategy games. Like, outside of the Battle Cats pop a few weeks ago, and Unholy Heights, apparently, there's no decent strategy games, real-time strategy games on the 3DS.
That's Fire Emblem's pretty close to RTS.
No, that's turn-based. But I mean, I'm talking something, you know, there's not even any decent tower defense games on it. It's just all sort of like the borderline shovelware that Circle puts out on the eShop, and that's about it, really.
I think there's a good reason for that, and Nintendo made it pretty clear that they like making games that can be done in small chunks on, like, a train ride or whatever. And an RTS is very much a sit down and
commit to it.
Think
for
about
half an
what
hour.
You're doing, and yeah, at least.
I don't know. I mean, the format Pikmin takes, I could see that being done in a quick sort of bite sized chunk form. Like, you just, I don't
feel
know.
Like that would actually kind of impede on the kind of DNA of a Pikmin game. I think that's why they're going for a spin off. They're trying something new and is manageable in, like, small chunks. By getting rid of an entire dimension.
Yeah, I don't know that a regular Pikmin game would work terribly well on the 3DS, but that said, I haven't really played many strategy games on the 3DS at all, so I'm not really one to talk.
Stylus would be good, though.
Could be.
I mean, that's the funny thing with the 3DS is, like, with the DS, you could have the bottom screen as your like field of play, whereas with the 3DS... It's now everything's on the top screen, and so...
Because the bottom screen is noticeably smaller and less wide and stuff. And it kind of has to be 3D. An inventory screen. Oh, you can have 3D. Oh, no, wait, no, you can't. Sorry, go on.
And, you know, for a strategy game, using the stylus to quickly select troops and issue commands and all that works great, but it's sort of hard to do that with the 3DS setup.
You could do it on a 6-inch touchscreen, large single-screened NX console. That would be a fun way to play Pikmin.
I mean, I feel that even on the DS, like, the DS never really reached the true heights of, like, real-time strategy games that it could get, like, the really good stuff, like Final Fantasy, Revenant Wings, and, like, your tower defense titles like Starship Patrol are really good, but, you know, there was nothing like a StarCraft or that. And the system could have easily done it if someone just had have pushed it.
I feel like the way that Nintendo kind of make new games and ideas lately is to just let the young people kind of present tech demos, like with Splatoon.
Mm.
Some people just have like a random idea and they ran with
full
it.
Ideas.
I feel like this Pikmin game probably started off like that. And then someone came up with the idea of, why don't we try a Pikmin skin on it? And hey, that works.
Yeah. Possibly.
Because they usually do gameplay first.
Yeah, and then sort of skin it, contextualize it after the fact.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I hope that we kind of learn a bit more about the development of that one, just where the idea came from.
Hmm. I'm not going to write it off yet. I'm not, based on the gameplay footage, I'm not ultra excited, but who knows? We'll see. It'll come out and then we can find out if it is a good game.
Yes.
Of course, we're not talking about the best new game is the tank game that everyone seems content for us to not talk about.
Everyone does seem content for us to not talk about it.
I've even forgotten what it's bloody called.
So memorable.
Tank Troopers?
If you want to talk about Tank Troopers for a moment, you may, if there was something you specifically wanted to get off your chest.
I really enjoyed Steel Diver Subwars, and this looks like a tank version of that. So it just looks like a Nintendo's take on World of Tanks, and it looks like stupid, crazy fun. I mean, there was, I think Emily Rogers said a few days ago that Nintendo wants a 3DS to carry out to 2018, and you can sort of see the stuff that they announced during the Direct for next year, and like the refresh to Street Pass and a bunch of new little games. They really seem to be committed to trying to do that.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, they're going to have games coming out after when the NX is supposed to be a thing. So kind of indicates it's not going to be a replacement like we all thought it was. But then again, the DS was not going to be a replacement either. But we all know how that worked out.
The 3DS is up to like 50, 60 million worldwide. So why would you want to throw that market away overnight?
Hmm. Fair point. Cool. Well, yeah, I think that will be the news for this time. So we'll go on a quick break and come back and talk about, there's a game that came out recently, and we'll have a chat, a yarn, a... And so, hey, we're back. We're going to talk about, there's a game that came out recently. It's a new Metroid game. Hooray, we've been waiting for that for a long time. It's called Metroid Prime Federation Force. It's on the 3DS, and it is a cooperative shooter game. It's kind of interesting. I think Troy is the most experienced about it so far. I've played a little bit of it, but Troy is our... known expert in Metroid Prime Federation Force. So do you have any initial thoughts? Yes. I'll be your referee.
The short of it is I actually am really enjoying it. I went in with no Metroid expectations, though.
Yeah, I told myself to think of it as not a Metroid game, and I think I am enjoying it a bit more as a result. But yeah, it's not a Metroid game. Don't think of it that way at all.
I think it's just got the Prime subheading because it's a first-person shooter. I think that's what Metroid Prime means to Nintendo.
Just like Metroid Prime Pinball.
You know what? I think they would have been better to just name it Federation Force, a Metroid Prime Adventure or something.
I found it quite funny when starting the game, when it sort of comes up with the logo in the introductory cutscene, it just comes up, Metroid Prime, Federation Force, after like an awkwardly too long pause, and it just made me laugh a little bit.
Metroid is such a niche fandom as well. It's not like they can really sell it on the name Metroid. I feel like they probably would have sold more copies because it had Metroid on the cover. I probably... may have not picked it up.
Yeah.
Have Metroid on it.
I wouldn't have even bothered with it probably if it was just... I guess if it was Federation Force known to be Metroid Universe, maybe that would have been enough for me, but sort of you could get people that aren't well-versed in the Metroid lore as deep as it is. They might see Federation Force and not really think of Metroid.
Being a next level studios, whatever they're called. Yeah, I still would have picked it up because, I mean, they have an amazing track record, like the previously talked about Strikers and Luigi's Mansion, and I don't think that they've outright made a bad game.
The average Nintendo even fan probably wouldn't really know who these developers are and what they've done. They just see the Nintendo badge. The actual development studio is usually hidden in the game somewhere in the credits or in the load up screen or something. It's not on the front cover of the game, which I kind of wish they would do.
Yeah, just to give some credit where it's due. I think sort of just beyond sort of I've described it as a multiplayer shooter, but is there any sort of more in depth way that you'd be able to describe it to someone who's completely unfamiliar with it?
It's got the puzzles of Metroid Prime in a much simpler fashion.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think there's 22 missions in the game, and I'm only up to, mission 14, and they all feel very different from each other.
Okay. I've played a couple, and they've all had... There was sort of, you'd go into an area, there'd be enemies, then you'd have, sort of switches to press or stuff like that. The levels that I played didn't seem to have many missions that... sort of required co-op. It was sort of helping for defeating enemies, but are there any like puzzles that take advantage of the fact that people are going to be playing it cooperatively?
So in the second mission, there's, you have to roll these balls into sockets to unlock a door.
Yeah. Cause that
there's
makes
one
sense,
room in particular.
Yeah.
No, it's ancient technology. No wonder they were wiped out.
No, right.
They couldn't open the door.
This incredible security system.
But the four orbs that you need are on opposite ends of the room. and they all have a completely different puzzle each.
Yeah, actually, I do. Yeah, I have played that level, and I guess it's something that you could do solo, but having more than one person definitely makes it less tedious, and you can kind of all do your own thing and contribute to the main goal.
Or if you have four people who are familiar with the game, you can have one go to each one and try and get that. You get a score at the end of each level, and you get a bonus if you go under a certain time.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So instead of doing each puzzle individually, you do them all at the same time. Huge time saved.
Yeah, definitely. As far as sort of the thing that stood out to me were the control methods. I don't know which one I prefer, but I kind of liked the default control method. It's very, very reminiscent to me of the original Metroid Prime on GameCube, like before twin analog or like analog and pointer was a thing.
Is this using the system to the motion controls?
Yeah, so you've got your movement forward, back, and turning left and right on the circle pad, and you'd lock onto enemies much like you would on the original Metroid. But a lot of the Metroid Prime, but a lot of the enemies will move, and you'll have to use gyro controls to kind of adjust your aim around the lock on to hit certain spots or to lead shots to them so they actually hit them and stuff like that. And
I've been using the C-stick, and I feel like the lock-on definitely gets rid of a lot of what the tedium would have been if you didn't have that lock-on.
I mean, look,
that would have been unplayable.
I like the C-stick, but as a camera control for third-person action games, like it was fine in Xenoblade and Monster Hunter, but for a first-person shooter, it's like that thing's not responsive enough. It's just...
I think that with the lock-on, that helps a bit there because you don't have to be super precise entirely. You can sort of get generally where you want to point and then lock onto the enemy, so you don't have to have the precision of a proper secondary stick. But, yeah.
If you're playing on your own, you can get those drones.
Yeah, I think I got those in two-player co-op as well, so I'm not sure if they go away in four-player, but yeah.
You'll get as many as there are players that aren't in the match.
I see. Okay.
We'll have two.
Just getting back to the controls, has anyone played the Moon or Dimension games on the 3DS using it?
No.
I mean, it's pretty hard to aim with that C-stick, and
but I feel like a lot of that's mitigated by the lock-on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most certainly, but it's just, I don't know, I think...
It's not a great stick.
Yeah, I mean, I like what Nintendo was thinking with the C-stick, but it just, you know, it's a really weird sort of...
It's probably about the best that they could do without redesigning the entire control, sort of the entire system to fit in a circle stick or something like that.
Why wouldn't they have been able to fit in like a tiny little, you know, like a little nub like the PSP Go had or something? That would have been able to fit in that same spot.
I feel like that's more of a fault of the hardware than the game itself.
Yeah.
Because the game itself to get is back to mitigating.
Sorry, I just wanted to...
No, it's a fair point. And I think that the hardware limitation there has been taken into consideration using a pretty good Metroid Prime trope, which is the lock-on.
Every
Metroid Prime game has had that lock-on, has it? I mean, outside of... Yep. Oh, what was it? Bloody Hunters, I don't think, had it.
Yeah, it's sort of, I'd say, closest to the Wii versions of the Metroid Prime games in that you can do full sort of free look with the secondary pointer C-stick sort of equivalent, but you also have the lock-on so that you don't have to rely on it entirely, and you could just use it to fine-tune your aiming, which as we were saying, the C-stick's not perfect, so it sort of really helps to mitigate the fact that the C-stick's not something you want to use for precise aiming. It just helps you... helps you point in the right direction, and then you can make adjustments from there.
But you will get enemies and bosses that will lock on, but it won't lock onto the weak point. So you then have to lock onto the enemy and then manually adjust it to where the weak point is. I'm stuck on a boss at the moment because I just can't do it fast enough before he shields up again.
Okay. I think I haven't played a lot, but I think I'm going to go back to the default control system just because... Because I think using the gyro to do your fine tuning of your aim, I think allows for a bit more fast movement, and I feel like I'd have that issue a bit less. Whereas with the C stick, you only have to use it to make precise adjustments, but I still feel like it's a bit clumsy to do that. So I feel like I'm missing a lot more where I wouldn't if I was using the gyro, possibly. I
think once you get the hang of gyro, it can be as precise as using a mouse.
Mm, and with the new 3DS, it doesn't kill 3D either. It works pretty well.
For all everyone griped about the gyro controls in Splatoon, if you figured out those, you were a master at that game.
Oh, totally.
Especially sniping.
I went back to the gyro controls after Dual Analog, and I can't go back to Dual Analog for that game anymore. Well, I mean, it's just so nice.
You need to use both, because you can use the Dual Analog and the gyro, right?
Yeah. So you use the stick to do general sweeps and then the fine-tuning with the gyro.
Exactly. What do we think of the look of the game?
It's heavily stylized to make up for the fact that this is meant to be a gritty kind of universe.
And outside of the big heads, I think, you know, if they had
that doesn't bother me at all.
I can see why it would bother people, though. It doesn't bother me, but I'm like, I can see why someone might get a bit shitty about that.
I think it kind of makes the game seem like a spin-off, which it is, but it sort of makes it more obvious that it's not a mainline Metroid game, which it never was trying to be, but I guess that's kind of why people don't like the idea of it.
Can I I get people want a proper game starring Samus, but the game series is called Metroid, not The Adventures of Samus Aran's Bounty Hunter Extraordinaire. I mean, Metroid's completely unique in all Nintendo franchises in that it has a set timeline. There's not multiple Samuses across different generations. There's no timeline fairy. It's just one story from beginning to end. It's this universe that they've crafted, and they've never deviated from it. There's no games that don't count as part of the canon. And I've always wanted them to explore other parts of the universe outside of Samus.
Yeah, well, I actually really like being on the other side. When you get those mission briefings, and it's like, Samus has found this, she's done all she could, you need to finish the job. I actually really think that's really cool. It's part of a universe.
Does it touch on stuff like from other actual Metroid games? Like, are you cleaning up on, you know, sections from a Metroid Prime game, for example? Or is it just...
It really feels like it, but I don't think it is. Okay. Like, it almost feels as that there's going to be a Samus portion of this game where you get to do everything and then you get told that the Federation Force are, like, mopping up.
I think it would be kind of neat if they pulled a little bit from actual sort of environments from the other games, but at the same time, if they didn't, I can kind of understand as well. They've sort of putting this off to the side as its own
thing. Space is big.
Space is real big.
It's based post-Metroid Prime 3, right?
No, I think it's between... let me look that up. keep talking.
So, have they mentioned the baby at all? That's the big burning question, really.
No.
Actually, no, because...
The baby wouldn't be a thing at this point, I don't think.
Oh, wow.
There aren't any Metroids in this game at all.
Pre-baby, shit. I don't think I can handle that.
It takes place between the events of Metroid 2 and Super Metroid.
Okay, so it would be baby... It
which I think
post-baby.
Is where the Metroid Prime series is.
No, ending. Metroid Prime's before...
No, that happens before 1 and
yeah,
2.
Between 1 and 2. Yeah,
yeah, so, because there's Metroids in that.
Lots of Metroids.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Have any of you played much of Blast Ball?
No.
Only the demo, and it's not horrible, it's just not my thing, and I found it a bit too...
Bad netcode.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like I was good at getting shots off properly on it, and that just could be, using the C-stick. But I like the idea of it. I think you've got a neat little sort of Rocket League-style game in here.
I guess sort of speaking of the netcode, I've only played multiplayer locally, so I wouldn't know. Have you tried it online, Troy?
I can't. I can't find a match.
Oh, wow, okay. So you've just been able to play with... Have you been playing solo or with people?
With people.
Okay, but just people nearby,
name
I guess.
Drop the Vux Discord channel. come in if you want people to play with. There's a handful of us. I think there's about 6 or 7 at the moment. So just be like, I want to play with people.
And people will say, will find okay.
People. I would like to play Resident Evil The Mercenaries.
No.
No. Is that even online?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's been so cheap on the eShop, there's no reason no one should have that by now.
I guess. Well, yeah, is there anything else we want to touch on with Federation before we finish up discussion on that one?
I feel bad it is completely tanked.
Yeah, same. It actually has a lot of potential. I think this could actually have been a pretty fun franchise on its own right. Other than the fact that people just really wanted a normal Metroid game. And the fact that they're not backing this probably means that we're not going to get one for a very long time.
Well, I mean, apparently I've heard there's some pretty big teasers in it for Metroid Prime 4.
And yeah, but remember the big tease at the end of Metroid Prime 3?
But what has Retro been doing since Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze?
Donkey Kong Country Returns 3. Got to make it a trilogy.
I don't know. I think that you know, NX launch or something is going to be a new Metroid Prime game to make everyone happy.
I feel that about the Wii U launch as well, though.
I mean, I feel bad for this game because if it had have come out, you know, had it come out this year, the 30th anniversary of Metroid, and like, hey, here's a brand new, like, proper Metroid game coming out as well, and here's this little sub-game. I think it would have been a bit more well-received, but because it's the only Metroid thing since Other M, and we know how well that went, everyone's just like, no, we're not going to play this. We want a proper Metroid game. We don't want female Ghostbusters. Thank you very much.
The thing is, though, this feels like more of a Nintendo game than Other M did. Obviously, Other M had
Team Ninja behind that one.
Team Ninja on it. Regardless, like, this has such a strong Nintendo family fun charm feel to it compared to a lot of the other Metroid games, which are a lot grittier.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, I know you can do this. We believe in you. Whereas a lot of other Metroid games are just like, you're on your own. Go and
we literally don't talk to you at all. Or yeah. We betray you halfway through. Spoilers for
everybody. Take your suit off.
Did you kill the animals or did you save the animals? It is a choice.
Every year. this feels like Nintendo's kind of bringing in the Metroid franchise into their kind of realm of control a lot.
Family-friendly image.
Yeah, which I don't know how I feel about that in terms of future installments if this hasn't been well-received. But I feel like the criticism isn't fair. There's the preconception of this isn't a proper Metroid game. Doesn't make it a bad game.
Is it a bad game or is it a bad Metroid game?
I probably would argue it's not a great Metroid game.
Well, it's not really a Metroid game at all, I guess. Like, I think
exactly.
I haven't played enough to really give any sort of definitive comment, but I think from what I've played, it seems fine. It's not something that I would say everyone needs to go out and buy, but then again, I've only played two or three missions in, so I'm really not past any sort of point where I could make any real comment.
Are there actual Metroids in it?
No. I don't know why they...
I guess if it's after two, then all the Metroids should have been exterminated by that point, except for the baby.
The last Metroid is in captivity.
How
would they even deal with a Metroid, the Federation guys? Like, they've got no ice weaponry.
They would all die.
What do you think of the weapon system? Like, how you have to equip your loadout before you travel
down? That's actually really clever because it makes kind of, in a way, roles within the game.
Yeah, you kind of create roles and assign them out, sort of talk between yourself. I want to do this. Okay, cool. Well, I can take the slack on and have this kind of weapon where you can't have that much because it's too much weight. So, like, I have super missiles. They take up my whole inventory. So, other person
can
have other
like
stuff.
A bruiser. You can have a caster who does like the ice and fire ammo.
And a healer who's just, yeah.
But you don't just have healing. You also got the shields. You can do these bubble shields.
Yeah.
And you can shoot out of them.
But you can't
shoot
in.
Which is awesome.
It's like Winston.
No, I think you can shoot in. The enemies just can't shoot in or out.
Ah, okay.
It's weird. But all in all, because you even have the mods as well, which can affect certain stats. So you can have like more efficient healing, stronger missiles and things like that.
It seems very designed to sort of let you define a role for yourself and do everything that you can to kind of push that and keep that as your thing. But at the same time, it's also fairly flexible as well. You're not locked into, you can change your mods at any point in time, change your loadout at the start of every mission, stuff like that.
Yeah. It's an informal role system, basically. I think they did a pretty good job with that, and everything feels just, how do I say it? Well tested and tuned for, like, it's fun.
It's fun.
It's solid. It plays well. Every single mission that I've played so far is radically different from another. It's not like level one teaches you a new mechanic that you'll have to use reoccurringly throughout the game. Each mission kind of has its own gimmick.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Metroid Prime. It's good and fun. That's the verdict on the Vookcast.
It's like a good dog. It's good.
And like a good dog, we're going to go and take a break for a moment.
This is Charles Martinet, and you're listening to the VooksNet VookCast. Woohoo!
So yeah, hi, we're back. We're just come back from a break, and we're going to finish everything off, tie everything together to finish the podcast. So yeah, for anyone who's interested, we've got more general Nintendo news covering a bit more, probably depth and breadth of the Nintendo Direct and everything happening in the Nintendo news universe on the website, which is at vox.net. It's like books, but with a V. So it's on the site, it's on Twitter, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, it's on YouTube, it's everywhere. If you want to know what's going on Nintendo-wise, that's a cool place to follow in between episodes of this fine podcast. There's going to be an actual review of Metroid Prime Federation Force going up from James, who used to be on the podcast, hasn't been recently, but it'll be, who knows, a completely different opinion to what you get here, so it's probably worth reading and seeing what he thinks about that. And yeah, as Troy sort of alluded to earlier on, there's also the Discord that's sort of getting kind of popular. There's a lot of people hanging out in there. What's the Discord update official, Troy?
We're at about 80, just under 80 members. I've got a bot in there now that auto-posts news. So every time that we post something on Vox, it'll put it into the news from Vox channel, funnily enough. If you're playing Metroid Prime Federation Force and need people to play with, just join. We're all in there.
Or heck, even if there's another direct that comes up, I think the Animal Crossing one coming up soon, it's a pretty good spot to just kind of...
Yeah, we chilled out in the last direct. Lots of jokes.
It's something that I've kind of missed, like, back in, I think, probably before the Nintendo Direct, we had, like, the IRC chat room on the forums, and that was kind of the place to be during any sort of announcements for live screaming reactions.
Just E3 and just, like, Plasma David and all that.
Discord is kind of that, but a lot better.
Yeah, I can mute people in here.
Yes.
the last... Well, the direct that we were just talking about today, we were all chatting in there, just talking about all the news, opinions, expectations. It's actually a lot of fun.
If you're lucky, I might even be there for the next one. I didn't make it for this one, but I might next time.
You better be. It's like live tweeting, but...
It's live tweeting, but I don't have to worry about it coming back in a week and just being a wrong opinion.
True. You can delete your own messages.
I live tweeted two things during the podcast, during the direct.
And if I get a bit more people in there, I actually want to start organizing community nights for people. So, like a Splatoon night, Mario Kart night, whatever people want. There's
Resident
a friend
Evil
code swapping channel. what?
Resident Evil Mercenaries night.
No, we're talking about video games.
Oh,
so
talking about good games that are good and fun.
I mean, if you really want, if there's an obscure game out there that you want to play, ask if other people are playing.
Well, yeah. There you go. Ask around in the Discord. You might find other people with tastes just like yourself. I want
to
find people
to actually finally finish Triforce Heroes with.
Oh, man.
I want to get that out of the way because I paid money for it. I want to play it.
You know what sucks? That the online multiplayer is f***ing region locked for that, so I can't play with anyone that I know.
But you can play with people in the Discord server. How convenient. They'll all be in the same region, maybe.
No, no, no.
Australian.
No, if they have... Because what regions am I 3DS in?
Ah, you brought this problem on yourself. Anyway, that's the Discord update. Thanks, Troy.
No worries.
And yeah, that's pretty much all we've got to say for this episode. So thanks everyone for listening. We're happy that you choose to spend your time with us. It's quite an honor. Yeah, we'll be back next time, probably in a fortnight's time. TGS is happening in the next couple of weeks, so I'm sure there'll be things coming out of that that we can talk about. But yeah, until then, have a good time and we'll see you later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Night.
Make sure you're nice to your mum.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Yes. Be nice to my mum too.
Just be nice to mums in general. Mums are, they do a lot of work. They need
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah, also dads. Just be nice. Just be nice. Just be nice to everyone, please.
Just be nice. Bad dog.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Good dog.
Ruff.